So let's review. Our shiur began with the Gemara explaining the last statement of the Mishnah on the previous daf. Amar Rabba Shaul, Kol shani zake ba mirasai, rishani lahashach lav. Whatever I may ask somebody else to do, I may go to the edge of the tchum to prepare for it. The Gemara explains that everybody agrees you may go to the tchum on Shabbos to be prepared to guard your fruits after Shabbos. And you can also ask somebody who is in the same tchum as your fruits to guard them for you on Shabbos. In other words, the Tanna Kamma holds you may only go to the tchum to do things after Shabbos if those things may be done on Shabbos itself. Rabbi Shaul suggests that this is part of a larger rule, that anything you may ask someone on Shabbos to do for you after Shabbos, like mitzvah-related items, you may go to the tchum yourself to do them right after Shabbos, even though these things may not be done on Shabbos. Rabbi Shaul is referring specifically to that which is taught in the next Mishnah. One may go to the tchum on Shabbos to be ready to go right after Shabbos to bring things needed for a kala or a coffin and shrouds for a deceased person. As the Gemara in the previous daf explains, these activities are forbidden on Shabbos because they involve malachas such as cutting. Nevertheless, since it's a tzorich mitzvah, one may ask somebody on Shabbos to do this after Shabbos. Therefore, our Mishnah rules like Rabbi Shaul that one may go to the tchum for this purpose as well. The Mishnah continues. Nachri shehevi chalilin b'Shabbos lo yisped behen Yisrael elim kein bo mimokim karv. If an non-Jew brought flutes for a Jew on Shabbos, he should not use them in a funeral after Shabbos unless they came from somewhere close, which means within the tchum Shabbos, 2,000 amas of the city. However, there is a machlokes amirah. Rav Amar mimokim karv mamish. Rav says we may only use them if we are certain that it was within the tchum Shabbos. Shmuel Amar chayshina on shem mechutz lochem alanu. Shmuel holds that we may use them if there is the possibility that they were within the tchum, but outside the wall of the city. They are also only if we are certain that they were outside of the tchum at the onset of Shabbos. The Mishnah continues. Asa le'aron. If a non-Jew made a coffin or dug a grave on Shabbos, a Jew may be buried in them. If he made it for the Jew may never be buried in this coffin and grave. According to Shmuel, who ruled leniently regarding flutes, the Mishnah can be understood simply, that in the first case, since there is a possibility that the coffin and grave were not done for the Jew, it may be used. According to Rav, who ruled stringently regarding flutes, the Gemara asks, in the first case, since it's possible that the coffin and grave were done for the Jew, we should have to wait at least b'chdei shi'asu, the amount of time it would take to do these things after Shabbos. The Gemara answers that the grave was near a main road, where Jews are usually not buried, and the coffin was on the grave, therefore we are certain that they were not made for a Jew. In support of Rav, the Gemara cites a braisa regarding a bathhouse. Rav Nachram, if the majority of the town were non-Jews, the baths may be used by Jews immediately after Shabbos because we assume that they were warmed on Shabbos for the non-Jews. Rav Yisrael or Mechza Mechza, if the majority were Jews, or even 50-50, the Jews may not use the baths after Shabbos until a period of Kadesh Yasu, the amount of time it takes to heat the water, because we assume it was warmed for the Jews on Shabbos. This braisa supports the opinion of Rav that when you are not sure if a malacha was done for a Jew on Shabbos, it may not be used. Dr. Mishnah, Eisen kol tzorkei ha'mes, sachin u'madichin oisei, u'bavad shloyozes b'yever. One may do anything for the dead body on Shabbos, including anointing and washing him, as long as we do not move any of his limbs, because the body is muktzah. Shomtin esakar mitachtov, u'matil noisei alachoyl b'shvil shayamtin. One may pull the pillow from under his head, moving the body indirectly, thereby laying him on the sand, which is cooler, to slow down decomposition. We may tie the jaw of the deceased so that it does not continue to droop, but not to lift it up, because that would be moving it directly. Similarly, a broken beam may be supported by a shear or a side section of a bed, which are kalim and not muktzah, but only so that it does not fall further, but not to push it up. Regarding the first halacha, the Gemara asks that Reb Meir did not allow his students to rinse or smear oil on the floor of a bathhouse, probably, because the stone floor is muktzah. So why does our Mishnah allow rinsing and smearing oil on a dead body that is muktzah? The Gemara answers, karka bekarka michalfa, meis bekarka loy michlef. There's no problem with rinsing or smearing mukta. The only problem is rinsing or smearing dirt floors because of mash v'gumos. It evens out the floor, which is bina building. Rameya prohibited rinsing and smearing the tile floor because people would confuse one floor for another. The Mishnah permits rinsing and smearing a dead body because nobody would confuse a dead body with a dirt floor. When the Mishnah says we may do kol tzarkei mes, all needs, it means that we may even take measures so that the stomach does not swell and burst. Zok the Mishnah. Ein ma'atz min es ames b'Shabbos. We may not close the eyes of the deceased on Shabbos. V'loy b'choil im yitzias ha'nefesh. V'ma'atzim im yitzias ha'nefesh. Hareza shefech dam. Closing the eyes of a person as he's dying is forbidden even in the weekdays and is equivalent to murder because a dying person is like a flickering candle where the slightest touch can extinguish it. The Braisa draws a contrast between the living and the dead. Tinik ben yoy mechai, mechan lovas Shabbos, a living person, even a baby one day old, wear mechal Shabbos to save his life. Amr Torah, chal lov Shabbos echad, kedei sheyishmer Shabbos es harbe. The Torah tells us to violate one Shabbos so that he can observe many future Shabboses. David HaMelech Yisrael mes ein mechal nalav. A dead person, on the other hand, even as great as David HaMelech, we may not be mechal Shabbos to take care of his body because he can no longer do mitzvahs. As the pasuk says, b'meisim chavshi, which means kiven shemeis adam nasa chavshi ben mitzvahs. Once a person dies, he is free from mitzvahs. He's no longer obligated in the mitzvahs. The Braisa learns from a pasuk in Kehelas that once Yemais HaMashiach arrive, we will no longer be able to accumulate Tzchuyas. The Gemara points out that this is contrary to the opinion of Shmuel, who holds Ein Ben Oil Mazel LeMais HaMashiach El Shibud Malchias Bovad. There is no difference between this world and the Messianic era, except for our independence from other nations, but we will still be able to accumulate Tzchuyas. The Daf concludes with some statements about poverty. One should always pray to be spared from poverty because Galgal Hu Shechayz V'Oilam. The wheel of fortune is always revolving in the world. Wealth and poverty come around over generations. Only tefillah and tzedakah can stave it off. Reb Chiya used to tell his wife to quickly feed the poor so that when his children would one day be poor, others will care for them. Kol merachem al abriyas, merachem l'bnei shemayim. Hashem is compassionate to those who are compassionate to others. The Gemara next begins a discussion describing the body's deterioration in old age based on psukim in Kehelas Perikid Beis. V'shavu ha'ovim achar geshem. Zu ma'or einav shel adam shahoylich achar bechi. When the pasuk says that clouds come back after rain, it refers to a person's eyesight that is weakened from crying. Until the age of 40, the body replaces the tears lost when crying, and eye ointment can help the eyesight. After age 40, the body never recuperates, and ointment only stabilizes but does not improve the eyesight. The Gemara relates that when Reb Chanina's daughter died, he refused to cry even after his wife criticized his lack of emotion because it was bad enough that he lost his daughter. He didn't want to lose his eyesight as well. The Gemara then explains that some tears are harmful and some are beneficial. Sheish demoy saying, Sholosh yafos v'sholosh rois. Three types of tears, caused by medicine, laughter, and pungent fruits, such as mustard and onions, are good for the eyes. Three types of tears caused by crying, smoke, and stomach pains are bad for the eyes. This discussion continues on the following daf.